This is Ralph Crumbert Winterode II, live out of Alaska with the Ralph Winterode Show. Got Mike Mays with it too, and just talking about a few of my experiences on the Alaska pipeline. I'll just do two more and then we'll get on to some real stuff here. But salmon fishing, I used to go down there, and it was about a mile and a half to end the walk, and I'd get a salmon. I mean, when you're down there where there's nobody around, I mean, God, and the kings are there, it doesn't take a lot, and you get one, and coming back, and I hear a big a black bear. Black bears are very dangerous too, boy. And he stood up, and I always carried my 7mm mag with me, so I put the salmon down, and I stood there, and he's standing up on his hind legs looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's probably about 40 feet ahead of me, and I said, well, what are we going to do? And we stood there, looked at each other for a little bit, and he finally went down on all fours and turned around and walked off. But black bears are very dangerous. And when I was coming up out of Pump 12 back to Glen Allen one day, I saw a cow and a calf go across the road. They don't gallop like a horse. Their legs just, when they move, and it was really, really honking it on. And so I get up there and I stop because I'm always looking at wildlife. You know, I was shooting rabbits up there, eating rabbits, and the other, not ptarmigan, but the other one, they're dumb in a rock, that they're good eating. So I stopped. And all of a sudden, I turn around and look at my door. There's a grizzly bear. He was chasing him, and he's standing there at my door. I'd got right in his road. So I'm looking at him, and I just froze. You know, I mean, my door's there and stuff. He's not going to get in. But he turned around and went back across this road and down through the ditch. And I'm telling you what, I made up my mind. There's no reason to run from a grizzly bear. I mean, my God, he put it in high overdrive. And, man, Oh, man, can they move. So trying to outrun a grizzly bear would be a waste of time.
You know, the bears were highly revered by Native Americans, and, you know, they're just an amazing creature.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of them up here. The only ones that are the super danger is the polar bear. And at Prudhoe Bay, when they go out where there's polar bears, they actually take armed people, but that's the only time you see anybody around anything. I did have a, I'll tell you one other funny one, then I'll quit and get on something else here. But we had a manager down at Pump 12, and he loved to drink. So he takes out a company truck, goes up and gets stinking drunk, and he's coming back home towards Pump 12, and he hits a moose. And he gets stops, looks around, he can't find the damn moose. Well, what the hell happened to him? He must have got up and walked off. So he goes down to Pump 12 to go in. And the guards are saying, what are you doing with the moose in the back of your pickup? It was a young moose, and he flipped over and went in the back of his pickup.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was a drunk. He didn't get fired, by the way, you know, but because he's not supposed to be driving drunk. But then it's a little hard to explain how you're driving around with a young moose dead in the back of your pickup. There's all kinds of stories like that out there. It's just amazing. It was a fun time, though. Anyways, can you imagine in a country all the things that's going on with the election that is just, I mean, we don't count the votes here. We don't have control of the software. We actually have to send our military in Germany to get our servers that's counting our votes for the president of the United States. You can't make this stuff up.
I'm really glad that this has happened. I'll be gladder when, or more glad when Trump gets elected again. But it's brought to the forefront how crooked our voting is. You know, and they love to tell you, well, if you don't like a politician, vote him out of office. Oh, wait, never mind. Because if you have no voting integrity, then you're just living in a fantasy land of so-called freedom. And you think that we're in a republic that's run by a democratic vote, but when your vote cannot, you don't have confidence that your votes are being counted properly and accurately with integrity and transparency, then it's just a joke.
It is.
It doesn't matter who you vote for.
Well, you know what?
Now, in Oklahoma, they do paper ballots. And used to, each paper ballot would have a perforated stub with a serial number on it. So if you wanted, if there was some kind of recount or whatever, you could show up and say, here's the stub from my ballot. I'd like to see it. And you can see how your ballot was counted, basically.
Uh-huh.
So they took all that away. They've made it now that, you know, once that ballot gets thrown into the hopper, nobody knows where it came from or who it belongs to.
And the thing is, in our day and age, we can have secure software. We have nuclear stuff that's secure software. Why wouldn't we make our own software, make it secure, have vapor backup if it ever gets to that, but they could get around and make it secure. They could scan it, give pictures of it so a guy could even look at it if you had the serial number or something and online or whatever, you know. I mean, it's so easy. And they have, do we believe that we can't figure out where a person's domicile is, if he's moved or not, or if he's dead
right,
and deceased, and we can't clean up our voter rolls? Come on.
Right.
And we don't need
signature
verification, or we don't need identification at all. This stuff is so preposterous.
What I saw, Ralph, from, this has been years ago. This is before this election. So this has been several years ago. There was a big, you know, a lot of people talking about voter integrity and so forth and voter fraud. And what they suggested, I found interesting, was they suggested that you get a tab, right? You get the serial number from your ballot. It's a matching serial number. Your ballot has a serial number. You have a serial number. when it gets scanned, that goes into like a spreadsheet database that the public can view online. Mm-hmm. And then you can go in, make sure your vote, your ballot was counted correctly. If it wasn't, you flag it. And if there's a certain percentage that is flagged, then there's a recount of the paper ballots. And I thought that was a very interesting idea.
Well, they can, they can assign it a serial number, so nobody would know who it is. But if you got the serial number, you could go in and see how it's counted.
Yeah, and you could file a complaint. You go online and see how it was tallied. Did they tally yours correctly? And if everybody can go online and check, if so many people say, no, that's not how I voted, then they could file a written complaint. And if there's enough percentage of those, then it would automatically trigger a recount, a paper recount by hand.
You know, I ran for governor in Alaska under the Patriot Party, which was the thing off of old United We Stand guy. And I really got involved in that. I showed up and I ran for governor because I was trying to get a political party installed, the Patriot Party. And I went to D.C. I was on C-SPAN. And I had this real talk black gal there. And I said, I'm running for governor. What was she running for? And I think she was running for senator or representative. I said, oh, so who are you tied with? Farrakhan. I said, who's Farrakhan?
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm really an enlightened political guy, right? So I flew the guy out that was out of Colorado. Was a senator that was doing the 10th Amendment resolution stuff all across the United States. And
right.
I flew him to the Patriot Party convention back in Illinois. Paid his way and mine. Because I had money. I spent tens of thousands of dollars in political stuff when I had my company going. And we get back there, and he gets up to give a spiel, and I see all these black people. I said, what the hell is going on here? And they're booing him about the 10th Amendment. I said, well, wait a minute here. What's that? Is there something wrong with the 10th Amendment that I don't understand? And we got in a hell of a pissing match there. And that's when I understood that it was this Farrakhan. It was just another con. So him and I got on the airplane, said to hell with that. And, of course, anyway, we had the election. And I went down to the thing in Anchorage. I see the votes of mine going up, and I'm doing pretty good out in the valley because a lot of people, you know me, because I went down on the debates with the governor, and I showed the fraud. I got the fraud in Alaska where on a switch system that I'd bid on. For 5.2, and it was 8.7, and the guy didn't get the bid right. They put in 1.7, and you can't change the bid, but they did. And I went to the Supreme Court, so I brought that up. So anyway, I'm showing all this fraud and corruption, and I got it audited, and I found out that nobody cares a rip-rump. It's corruption, and I got it documented. But anyway, I'm watching the votes, and all of a sudden, my votes are going backwards. So how the hell do you lose votes?
Wow.
So what they said, well, we left in the test software, but it's all right. But, Ralph, if you got $40,000, because I was just trying to get enough to, you know, you had to get 2 or 5% of the vote to get on, to get on the ballot, you know, create a party.
Ballot, right.
Yeah. And say I got 5,000 votes or signatures, and it cost me $1 a vote or signature. That's why I paid people to go out and get it. But that's how corrupt it was. They made damn sure I wasn't going to get a political party. Who's got $40,000 just to make sure you create a start a party? And then when I found out what the party was, well, hell, I was weeding up a rope, you know, going nowhere fast.
Right.
It's just amazing, I tell you. Our republic has been overthrown. The thing that I found in these lawsuits, and I'm going to try to get this hype up and get it to you, but I wanted to read complaints that she did. Yes, they made mistakes, some typos on the Georgia one, and they're making big fun of that, Sidney Powell. But I wanted to put out all of the exhibits. And they did another amended exhibit. I didn't get a chance to look at it in the Georgia case. But I wanted to have it on not only the complaint is out there, but is to have the highlighted stuff, because there's some good stuff in it, certain things, but it's to have the exhibit so people can look at the exhibits they're talking about. Because I haven't seen any place where they have the exhibits out there, and unless you have PACER, How are you going to get it?
So well, anyway, you can't outside of Pacer.
Pardon?
You can't get them unless you got access to Pacer.
No, and because it is it's so hot, I don't have to pay for the downloads. Normally, it's 10 cents a page, but it's already there. So if you have Firefox, you can download it for free. So I want to try to get that on my home page here in the next day or two and start following it every day as put all the updates, because what people don't understand, we are in a fight like the Revolutionary War of the Redcoats, and the enemy is the Communist and the Democratic Party and the Socialist. We are in a fight for our republic. And I don't know if you heard the thing, but General Flynn did an audio thing that's on an interview on InfoWars. And he come to the, he said it just as plain as he said, if we lose this, the Republic's done. It's over.
Wow.
Now, there's a guy that knows, but I've already, I mean, I don't even begin to have the knowledge and contacts. But if Biden gets in and all this stuff, it don't make any difference whether we got the Senate or not. Our republic's done, because when you're the president and you have all of these other people out there, there's just no way to stop them.
It's the deep state.
It's the deep state. And it's been alive and well a long, long time. It was back in Eisenhower. He was talking about it. You know?
Right, right. I'm trying to think of the acronym. It's called COG. It's Continuity of Government, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And the Continuity of Government's designed like if you had some major catastrophe, that it would be status quo and the government would continue even if it didn't have leaders or politicians in place, that you have this certain level of continuity. Well, that got flipped over into basically what I would call the shadow government.
Well, and I can prove the shadow government. Now, we got a caller here. Let's take the caller here. Pat, you've been holding for quite a bit here. Pat in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi. In about 93, Tarrant County, where Fort Worth is, it was one of the number one Republican county in the whole nation. But it went blue this year. But you could look, somebody put this on Facebook. Somebody told me about it. TC means Tarrant County, GOP on Facebook. It said this year, Tarrant County turned blue for the first time since the 1960s. Hyder Garcia is the Tarrant County Elections Administrator. He was hired in 2018. Actually, he was appointed by some Republicans on a county commission, not voted for. He previously worked for Smartmatic for 12 years. He received his He received his engineering degree in Venezuela in 2003. Oh, in 2010, he testified during a fraud investigation into Smartmatic software in the Philippines election. Well, we think that Duarte or Dirty, they call him down there in the Philippines. Nobody wanted that guy. They don't like him now. So that was just a year or two ago. So I guess that was also Philippines was a bad election. And this one here, they said on Newsmax, just a report, you know, it went in TV, and it said Tarrant County fraud. And I looked at it, and it was talking about us. And I know that he said something about, he picked the electronic election machines for this county, because Texas could pick whatever they wanted. And I'd like to just go back to the paper ballot, you know, the Eagle, like we had before he got here. Yeah, but there's another thing I want to tell you, too. Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor, he has $1 million of his election fund that he's wanting to award people in Texas, at least 25,000.
Hold on a minute. We got to go to break. Hold on.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Well, we're back here. Matt, you still there?
Yeah, I wanted to say this, but I think a couple of ladies are also, they've developed an organization to raise money for the same thing that our Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has done. He's offered $1 million of his election funds that he's going to award to people with at least $25,000 each. Or info that leads to a conviction on election fraud here in Texas. And I thought this was pretty good. He said, I want you to give the information you got to your sheriff. Well, I tell you what, I don't think you'll give him any lies to the sheriff, you know. But we did get our good sheriff reelected here in Texas. That was good. But I wanted to say also, too, talking about the Kelly Loeffler and I think his name is Perdue there in Georgia. I think it's very important if they get reelected in January.
It is. It's important, yeah, but we can't. Trump's going to win. I listened to this General Flynn, and they asked him on a scale of 1 to 10, is Trump going to get reelected? He said 10.
Well, they're acting like now, I'm not in on a bunch of facts, but they're acting like there's 50 Republicans in Georgia and 48 Democrats. If those two Democrats won, it would flip the whole Senate to Democrat.
Well, I can tell you, we're going to win because we've got the Supreme Court justices lined up. We've got the military. Trump has got that. And we got the servers. Ha-ha.
Yeah. I'm proud of all that, but I just wanted to know that I wanted you to know there was a lot of trouble here in Tarrant County, and I still don't trust the vote.
Well, I don't trust them even in Alaska because, see, the problem is our republic's been overthrown, and I've proven it. What we think we know is not so. And by the way, the Mooney case is a 14,000-word petition, a 7,000-word reply, a 998-page addendum that was filed. And then we filed in an en banc, 3,900 pages with another 89 pages of evidence. And that is sitting now waiting for a rehearing en banc at the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And I have proven conclusively there are no constitutional courts in America except the Supreme Court of Alaska with evidence. Now, that's a scary thought. There are no elections for public officers in Texas because they're all federal elections. And guess what? They're all done by citizens of the United States. And this is amazing. They mentioned that, but they don't.
Let's take care of that later. Right now, let's.
Well, this is important because what we think we know is not so.
Well, maybe we can fix that too without a constitutional commission. But that fellow is two lawyers who are out to show somebody, a lady called you when you were taking John Salmiller's place, how they're out. They have a lawsuit that Kamala Harris is not, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, she is not legally allowed to run for vice president.
Oh, I doubt that. Remember, at all, but the bottom line is Obama wasn't qualified either, and they proved that. But we got a bunch of cowards up there that won't do nothing. That's our problem.
Well, he's got a lawsuit, and maybe, who knows? I mean, he's not for Texas. He's they're lawyers, and they got that suit to prove, sort of like you think, and that's why the lady called you and told you about it, so you hadn't heard of it, and I think he's got something there about natural born citizen, and when you look at the meaning of what it was when they made the 14th Amendment and all that. And that's
14th Amendment didn't change anything. That's what people don't understand. It's all an illusion. It didn't change anything. All it did is if the state actors, the state people, or state law does something discriminatory, Congress can step in. Otherwise, nothing's changed. And that's a fact. Nothing. But that what people don't understand, they think they're hooked into being, quote, a 14th Amendment citizen. What Congress is not supposed to be doing is legislating as citizens of the United States unless the state does something wrong. They forgot about all that. That's all they legislate for now. And now the states, they're legislating for citizens of the United States. They have no statutory or constitutional authority to legislate. But guess what? If we get around and sign up that we want to have this fictional status, if we give them the okay, then they can run with it. It's up to us. We don't need a constitutional convention. We need some knowledge with facts to understand we've been conned.
I don't want a constitutional convention. No way, Jose.
We don't need one. It's all there.
Well, people are catching on, Ralph. They're catching on. I hear them saying that I forgot. But I'll let you go. I hear the music. All right. Thank you a lot.
Bye. Yeah, bye.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There we go. Had my mic muted. I got a question for you, Mark.
Okay.
You can look at Oklahoma statute, and if it's codified, you got a good chance that both the House and the Senate, and it's been signed by the governor or vetoed, and it was overridden, and it actually exists without having to check that out, right?
Well, Oklahoma statutes are not codified.
Oh, they aren't?
No, they're not.
Really?
Yes, that's correct. So, you know, they're just statutes. They're not law. And so the only law, the real law that we have would be the session law, which is where the legislators sign off on it, and then the governor signs off, and it becomes law, which is not always, or does not always line up with the statutes.
So how can you have a statute if it ain't a session law? It's supposed to be comprised of statutes.
Sorry about that. Some states do have codified statutes, which then that does become the law, but Oklahoma's not one of those.
Wow. Well, if you see a session law, can you rely upon the fact that it was passed by a majority of the House and the Senate and signed by the governor, or it was overcome by a veto?
Yes, that is certified. Absolutely. That's a separate, okay. section, so now then, separate section of law that you can look at.
Okay, So now, every agency is mandated by the Federal Register Act of 1935 to publish in the Federal Register. So my question to you is, and I'm not trying to, I'm just going to show how ridiculous it is.
Right.
What are the types of, there are two types of procedures to make what's called a force and effect of law exist. You know what those are called?
Two types of procedures.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring
to. Okay, where I'm headed is one is a formal procedure, and the other one is called the informal procedure. So the next question is, if I looked at a CFR like gross income, that's a mandatory thing if you're going to do internal federal national income tax. You got to have gross income. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, the CFR is 26 CFR, that's a Code of Federal Regulations, 1.61-1. That's gross income. Can I look at that CFR and determine if it has the force and effect of law? Can I believe it?
Not unless it's part of the Federal Register.
No.
Right?
Okay, now, here's the key.
No.
There are regulations. Now, we are being ruled by agencies that must publish in the Federal Register. These people are not appointed by us. They don't have any accountability to us. They're agencies. So the question becomes, if I'm being ruled, and this applies to every agent, just everything, all of your child custody, all your driver's licenses, their state plan, they're all CFRs. Can I look at that CFR? Chrysler v. Brown, 1979, says to have the force and effect of law, it must be what's called a substantive or a legislative rule. Substantive rule or legislative rule to have the force and effect of law. There's only two ways it can get there, called the formal procedure or the informal procedure. The formal procedure, it must stay in the proposed rule. It's in compliance with 5 U.S.C. 553B. 5 U.S.C. 553B. That's the key. Do you know how many formal substantive regs I've found so far?
Probably zero.
None. Okay, so now we're down to the informal. Now, this applies to gun rules, all kinds of stuff. Everything. I've got to get people up to this. I want to get it into Adobe Illustrator. It's in the Mooney case. It's never been done before because I found a Senate report that gave me what I needed. It's a how-to on the Administrative Procedures Act. That's what books are for. They really help us. That's what their reason is, to get us up to speed instead of trying to figure it out, reverse engineer it. So the informal, the true informal will use some or part of this. Let's see here. Let me back up here. They will say, just a minute here, so I really got to get it correct here. They will say it is unpracticable, unnecessary, or contrary to the public interest. So it'll say 5 U.S.C. 553, but it is impractical. It's unnecessary and contrary to the public interest. And that's, they will use one, two, or three of those. Or they will say nothing. Here's the killer. In that, they must state the emergency or the necessity. Why are you using this informal? Why is it impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest? And it's in the Senate report 572 on page 14. They must state the emergency or the necessity. Do you know how many I've seen that state the emergency or the necessity?
Zero.
There you go. Damn, you're getting good. None.
We're ruled by zero.
So what happens?
We're being ruled by zero.
So I go look at 26 CFR 1.61, dash one, and by the way, the states like Minnesota and others will use the federal, they'll say C, the IRS code. It's not even Title 26, it's even positive law, but that's another issue. C, the federal. Well, guess what? If it is federal, the state has no authority, none, to adjudicate. They can't do anything on it. Oh, hold on a minute here. I got a thing here. I'll turn my sound fall off. So they can't even adjudicate it. Okay? So the first thing is, when they say what they will do, every state does it. They will say, well, we're going to use the IRS code. Section 61 or the adjusted gross income or whatever. They don't have authority to deal with federal stuff. It has to go into a court of the United States, first of all. Okay, I'm working up the module on that. Curtis Lyson found that for me out of North Carolina. But if I cannot look at 1 or 26 CFR 1.61 for gross income and know that it has the force and effect of law, I have to go, what do I do? How do I prove what it is? This is, makes it so ludicrous. You cannot look at a CFR. You can look at the Part 301s. Now they have 26 CFR Part 301 point something for deficiency, notice of deficiency, for assessment, for tax liens. They're all 301, housekeeping regs. They got nothing to do with you and me. It's for internal use only. And they use those against us. So we can exclude stuff by the prefix of 301, housekeeping. 601 is their procedural nonsense for their in-house. But if it just says 1.61 or 31 point something like in the finance world or something in the ATF world, you can't tell. So what do I do? What do I do? You have to go into the credits, into the Federal Register. You have to go look and check it out yourself. And you do, you have to go into the Federal Register and you search for 553B, little b. And what you will find, one, it won't be there. Or two, if it is, it will say it's impractical, unnecessary, or contrary to the public interest, all three or one of those three. What it will never say is why we're saying that, which is mandated. Mandated by this Senate report. And I found in this, I didn't get that initially, but in this Administrative Procedures Act, they talk about no subsequent legislation shall be held to supersede or modify the provisions of this act except to the extent that such legislation shall do so expressly. So in other words, when they made the Administrative Procedures Act, they're trying to make it kind of like a constitution. They're saying you can't go dicking with it. So the bottom line is, the informal must say in the proposed rule, if you're doing this unpractical and not according to the public interest, you must also state your emergency. Why are you bypassing the formal way of doing things? And it's never done. So if that's done in the proposed rule, in the final rule, they have to come back and do it again. Same old nonsense. They'll just repeat it. They're supposed to wait 30 days. Then for 6 months, Congress can overlook it and say, well, how did my little agency guys down there screwing the public, how did they do? Congress can stop it within 6 months, but they never do. Court. I'm sorry? Oh, no, I didn't see that here. Let me go look and see here. We got a caller here. Let me go look and see because I'm talking about this. Like I say, you just can't make this stuff. Murray in Wisconsin, question or comment?
Yes, Ralph. I just want to clarify for Pat and Sherry. The
organization, and I sent the email to you. The title on the email is "A Great Show Both Times I Listened." It was forwarded from when I sent it to Mark Anderson, but just so your listeners hear, too, because they gave it out without part of the address, it's constitutionassociation.yolasite.com. That's YOLASITE.com, Constitution Association. And the men were talking about this, but they kept using the term citizen. And I think what we need to use, and it's in the state government, state.gov, for passports and whatnot, is national, U.S. national.
Nope. I'm going to stop you right there. Boy, you're something to talk about I really know a lot about. You are a national, in 11-8 U.S.C. 1101A, little A, 23, capital A or capital B. You are a national of the United States of America, end quotes. Not national. National of the United States of America. It's on the passport application. If you have a passport, go look on the right-hand side. It will say citizen / national of the United States. Now, why is that important? Because they always have to give us the solution, the constitutional solution, along with the lie. So now, if you go look, and I'm pulling it up here, and I'll read it off exactly as it is. It's really important, because national won't get you there. I guarantee you. This is the only definition. And let me page down to it here, to what it says, because it makes it black and white. And I'm not there yet. Almost there. There we go. The term, in quotation marks, national of the United States, end quote, means, when it says means, there's no other definition other than this. It says, A, I am a citizen of the United States, or now, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. And that's you. You're in Wisconsin. You are a citizen of Texas, or of Wisconsin. And only a citizen of Wisconsin has all three elements of citizenship. Mm-hmm. You have inalienable rights, which is the law of nature. You have civil rights, which a citizen of the United States has, which is just the right to go to court and sue. And you have political rights, which is the right of suffrage, the right of the elective franchise, which is to determine what kind of government, who fills the office of that government. And the only person that has political rights is a citizen of Wisconsin, and you have to be domiciled there for a certain period of time to be able to have that status. Okay? Now, how
right.
do we know?
And you have only one domicile, but you can have any number of abodes as long as your intention is to return to that domicile. But under this, it says U.S. national. It's the same as citizen, but not all nationals are citizens. So a U.S. national, this has worked for a lot of people.
The U.S. national and all that's all a bunch of garbage, because you got to have something that's got a definition. They obfuscate this.
They ask you if you're a citizen. Why do they ask you? Because you have to consent. If you were to say, I'm a U.S. national, then that's a different category. And you're not
US
subject
national
to the Congress.
Not the, what I am doing, I modify those. Because what they're doing, they don't give you the option. I have voted in Alaska and registered as a citizen of Alaska. I even have a driver's license as a citizen of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't give you the option.
Right, citizen of a state. But you can also say U.S. national of one of the states.
A person owing permanent allegiance to the state. That's their definition down here. And then you go look up state, you're screwed.
To a state, small s, not to the state. It's to a state, like you were saying. So
there's only the only things that stand is a citizen of Wisconsin, a national of the United States. Anything else is garbage. And I can prove it. You give it to me, and I'll prove it to you with their stuff. Okay?
Okay, but there's been a lot of people that have found a way to use this instead of citizen.
You want to use citizenship, but it depends. See, that's a generic word. You got to use citizen of Wisconsin. You have to be domiciled. And then what you have as that thing, you have something that's so important, and it's only granted to a citizen of Wisconsin that's a domicile. It's called the right of suffrage and the right of the elective franchise. It's called political rights. Citizen of the United States doesn't have one. You know why? Go to the District of Columbia. They vote as a qualified elector. Congress has plenary power over those citizens of the United States in D.C. Do you think they don't have plenary power over a citizen of the United States or whatever in Wisconsin? Of course they do, and I can prove it. Your state is not one of the several states, and I can prove all that. They are like a municipality because they define the only elections you have in Wisconsin. And if you send me an email, I will send you back where they've adopted the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, and it's only for citizens of the United States, and they don't have political rights. That's a fact. Hold on. Going to break.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and
Okay, Murray, you still there in Wisconsin?
I'm back. Yeah, my phone dropped off. Sorry about that. But I caught what you said on my player. I got to hear what you said. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation
here.
Well,
it's really critical. And in these, I just read the Michigan lawsuit. They use the word suffrage one time. They use the word elective franchise. But they don't ever go. They will never go to the definition of alien, because that would expose the citizen of the United States, which they can't go to. They just leave it. They just use the word citizen. They won't go there. Or they will say U.S. citizen instead of citizen of the United States. Something that doesn't have a definition. It's a broad term. It's like saying cat. Well, there's a Siamese cat. There's all kinds of putty cats. And the citizenship is critical because there's only one that has political rights, and that's a citizen of Wisconsin, domiciled in Wisconsin. Then you have political rights, you have civil rights, and you have inalienable rights, which is law of nature. You got all three. A citizen of the United States only has civil rights. And if you want to see it, go look it up on the internet. It's 42 United States Code, 1981 and 1982. 42 USC 1981, 1982. It says you have the same rights as a white citizen. Does that sound like we're all equal?
When you say white citizen, I think of white slavery.
That was given to the Negroes. They gave them civil rights in 1866. They could have naturalized them, which they did in 1870. Then they said in 1870, after they got the 14th Amendment in, oh, by the way, you know, we could have naturalized all you blacks, and you'd have been equal in all respects, but we're not. We already got the con started, and we're not going to tell you about the Act of 1870. You won't hear anybody talk about the Act of 1870, where we could naturalize African descent. They won't talk about it.
And then 100 years later, you have Hart and Emanuel Seller with the civil rights, bringing everybody down to the same level instead of up.
Civil rights includes corporations, LLCs, and the character. It's so critical. You take on the character of a citizen of the United States, just like you take on the, if you were suing somebody, a tenant, you can take on the character of a tenant or the character of a landlord and go to court, but that doesn't change your citizenship.
Right.
And the character of a citizen of the United States, which is United States Code 1101A, that's a national of the United States. That's on your passport, by the way. They have to have it there. It says citizen / national of the United States. And you want to be B. You owe permanent allegiance, but you're not a citizen of the United States because they have an or there.
Right. Well, yeah, and so, little Pat and Sherry were saying, too, about this Camel Toe Harris. Her parents were here on visas. They weren't naturalized citizens and weren't intending to be. So that makes her not one.
When they come across, unless you are naturalized, you have to come in as a citizen of the land. And it's a citizen of the United States of America. That's the country. And I have the naturalization documents to prove it. Takes 5 years to get there. Once you become a citizen of the United States of America, then you become domiciled in one of the several states like Wisconsin. So you also then acquire being a citizen of Wisconsin, which is a sovereign country with its own laws and its own constitution. And under the Union of States, it's under the Constitution of the United States.
Well, I could be domiciled elsewhere and this be one of my abodes.
You can only have one domicile. You can have all kinds of residences. You can.
I'm sorry to take up all your time. Let me get off here. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Yep. Well, it looks like time is up soon. Watch out for the federales and pray for Trump. We're going to win. God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're a
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.